Good evening, everyone, and welcome to the Saints Coaches Show. This is Mike Hoss along with Bobby Hebert from the Silver Slipper in Hancock County, Mississippi. And Saints head coach Dennis Allen will join us shortly as the Saints get that victory back-to-back, 44-19 over the Dallas Cowboys on the road, coming back home, but will stay in the NFC East against Philadelphia on Sunday at Caesars Superdome, and it will be rocking, I can guarantee you. Saints head coach Dennis Allen joining us. And coach, a heck of a win. I know it's your job to bring everybody back to earth, and I get it, but man, when you can go on the road and you can dictate the action with your play in the trenches and running the football, man, that's significant, is it not?
Yeah, there's no question. I mean, I think, that's a formula for success. I think, our key is trying to control the line of scrimmage on both sides of the ball with our offensive and defensive line. I think, in the early part of the season, the first two games, I think we've been able to do that at a pretty high level. And I think that's why you've seen us have success really on both sides of the ball.
Coach Allen, when I look at it, it doesn't change. Even before you became a head coach, when you're defensive coordinator, everyone talks about, scoring offense, scoring defense. But how do you come about that? I thought that was a significant stat, which is outstanding red zone defense. They were 0-3. And, if it's going back and forth, you might be in the ebb and flow of a game. Can you force field goals, or offensively, can you score touchdowns? And you said we played good red zone defense, to say the least. The defense really we were able to score touchdowns on our drives and force them to kick some field goals. So if you continuously to do that, it just, I don't know, you can play the percentages. You're going to win a lot, especially if you win the turnover battle. You end up being +1 for the game and +3 for the season.
Yeah, look, I think that's a key factor for us, and we knew that going into this game. We knew that, that we were facing an explosive offense, in particular there at home in AT&T Stadium. I think they scored 30 points, a majority of the times that they played in that stadium, and so we knew that was going to be a big deal. I knew they were going to, maybe move the ball a little bit, and that was part of the plan. But our key was to play really good red zone defense, which we did. And I think that was the difference in the game, is that, both offenses were able to move the ball some. We forced them to kick field goals. Our offense was able to score touchdowns.
Now, Coach Allen, when you look at it, to me, the turnover margin, and that I know you're going to emphasize this going forward, but being +3 for the season and +1 for the game, that is something. Protecting the football, being able to take it away, is going to be significant. And whether we're getting interceptions or fumble recovers, whatever it might be, that's not changing. Even when the Eagles come to town on Sunday, somehow, can we be +1 or +2? Could definitely impact the game.
Yeah, look, other than points for and points against, it's the number one predictor of outcomes in football games is the turnover takeaway ratio. And our guys have done a really good job of understanding that. I think we've done a pretty good job of protecting the football. And I think that's still something that we want to continue to strive to be better at. And I think defensively, we've done a good job of, attacking the football. And I think that comes with a mindset, that comes with a mentality, and that's something that has to be practiced every single day, and I think our guys do a really good job of doing that.
Coach, huge presence from the Houdat Nation yesterday in Arlington at the stadium. I mean, it isn't often in the second half of a road game you get to hear the Houdat chant make its way around the stadium, and then a huge number of people that stood around for a couple of hours to wave at buses going to the airport. I mean, you must have felt the presence of Saints fans yesterday.
Yeah, look, I think the Saints fans are awesome. I mean, I feel like the Saints fans, our fans travel really well. It's not the first stadium I've ever been in where I felt like late in the game, we had the Houdat chant going, and it's an awesome feeling to have. It's great that our fans give us the support that they do. We feed off that energy. It's an important part of being on the road, and certainly it's going to be a big factor this weekend playing at home.
You know, Coach Allen, look at Derek Carter, Trigger Man. I mean, to me, this number is unbelievable. 5.2 yards per pass attempt. The highest of his career, to say the least. Boy, I don't think he could have dreamt of this Saturday night before the game. But then you look at his passing efficiency and how efficient he is. After two games, an astounding 142.2. Not 98 or 102, 142. Derek Carr has been on fire.
Yeah, look, Bobby, you played the quarterback position. I mean, when that first number of your quarterback efficiency starts with a one and it's a three-digit number, that's pretty freaking good in our league. And he's operating at a very, very high level. The efficiency that he's operating at is really impressive. And really that goes back to the end of last year. I think he's been really playing exceptional football for us. And we're going to need him to continue to do that. And look, he's not alone. You know, obviously, I think our receivers are doing a great job of running routes, getting open. I think we're scheming some guys open a little bit. And I think our protection's been outstanding. And I think when you have all those things going together and your quarterback's operating at a high level, it allows you to be pretty good on offense.
And, Coach, it's a question about two players, but it begins with one play, and clearly the play of Alvin Kamara with the touchdowns running and receiving, which leads me to his touchdown receiving, 57 yards. That made it 21-6. But I'm curious, as you're watching film today with the team and or coaches, and you get to see Cesar Ruiz, who was running step for step about as fast as he could run. I mean, that had to be kind of cool.
Yeah, look, it was awesome. I mean, that's the thing about this team right now is the effort level that our guys are playing at is exceptional. And we say all the time around here that we're going to play with an effort level that our opponent is either unwilling or unable to match. And I think we've been able to do that in the first couple of games, and I think that's a hallmark of what we want to be as a team, both offensively, defensively, and in the kicking game.
Now, Coach Allen, what more can you say? Usually it could be different. Usually maybe a linebacker like DeMario Davis, whatever. But Alante Taylor leading the team in tackles in back-to-back games. And not only getting sacks in like that first game, but whether it's quarterback hurries, tackles for a loss, whatever. Alante Taylor seems like he's playing with a whole lot of confidence. And he seems like that he has to be one of the leaders on the defense along with DeMario Davis, simply because everyone watches the film and he's producing at a high level.
Yeah, no question. I mean, I think he's playing outstanding football. I think he's playing really good in coverage. I think he's playing really good in terms of fitting the run. He's been very active, very aggressive. We've used him as a blitzer. He's done a great job of tackling. There's just not a lot that he hasn't been able to do in this short period of time. And I think that's a tribute to, man, his mindset coming in, and focusing on improving and the things that he needed to improve on from last season. He's been awesome, and I'm excited for him, and he's been a big part of our success.
Just getting started with Saints head coach Dennis Allen. Take a break. This is the Saints Coaches Show with Bobby Hebert and Mike Koss here on the New Orleans Saints Radio Network. Welcome back, Mike Koss, along with Bobby Hebert and Saints head coach Dennis Allen as the Saints beat Dallas 2-0, host Philadelphia next Sunday. Philadelphia will be on Monday Night Football against the Atlanta Falcons tonight. We'll talk a little bit more about that in our third segment. And, Coach, you know, sometimes stats don't tell the entire story, but Chase Young had a half a sack, quarterback hit, and four tackles yesterday against Dallas. And I know he'd like to have that fumble, you know, ball on the ground back. But overall, I mean, he has just been exactly what we talked about in Irvine, disruptive. Might not numerically be out there, but I he's got to just be exactly what you wanted.
Yeah, and I think the stats are going to come. I think when you're continuing to be as active as he's been, continuing to be as disruptive as he's been. And look, he's gotten a lot of attention. And so that's opening up some things for some other players on the team. And so, production doesn't always necessarily show up on the stat sheet. He's got a lot of hidden production. But I think as the season wears on, I think you're going to see plenty of stats from Chase Young.
You know, Coach Allen, you're talking about getting everyone's attention or the stat line. Now, if you're a casual NFL fan, you probably don't know who Rashid Shaheed is. You probably know who Tyreek Hill is. But I thought this caught my attention, that Rashid Shaheed has 13 catches of 40 or more yards since he broke into the NFL in the 2022 season. Second only to Dolphins, Tyreek Hill, who has 17. So he's right there with Tyreek Hill in that span. So I'm like, you think does a normal football fan realize how explosive Rashid Shaheed is? Because they know who Tyreek Hill is, but Rashid Shaheed's right there.
Yeah, I'm not sure that the defensive players in our league recognize how explosive Rashid Shaheed is, because he continues to get behind the defense. I think that's what this kid can really do. He can really run. And on top of that, like, he's really good in transition. And so there's so many things that he can do. You have to respect his speed. You have to try to stay on top. And when you do that, you'll open up some more things underneath. And just the fact that he can run like he can opens up so much more for all the rest of our offense. So he's a big part of what we're doing. Probably doesn't get enough credit for what he can do with his speed on the field, but we're certainly glad we got him.
Now, Coach Allen, what about Alvin Kamara? I'm looking at franchise. He's in the franchise record books now. You know, he pushed his career total, rushing total, over 6,000-yard mark, making him the third player in franchise history to rush for 6,000 yards in a Saints uniform. You know, the great Deuce McAllister, you know, Mark Ingram, they over 6,000 yards. But right now, and I've said this, I don't know how you're going to comment on this, but I'm like, I think Alvin Kamara in this type of offense with Clint Kubiak and Shanahan and all, he's our version of what the 49ers want to do with Christian McCaffrey when he was healthy. Is that a fair assessment? Because all I know is Alvin Kamara, and I've said this, he's a young 29. You know, but, oh, he's close, 29, 30 years old. He's an old running back. I was watching him in OTAs and minicamp. He was still hitting and get it. I saw the burst there. So I don't think Alvin Kamara forgot how to run if they blocked for him.
Yeah, look, I'll say this, Bobby. I've never once looked at his birth certificate. So I don't really care what his age says. I watch the tape. I watch the practice. I watch what he does day in and day out. I still see a fast, explosive running back. I see a guy that's engaged with what we're doing. I see a guy that believes in what we're doing. And I think that's why you're seeing such an improved version of himself. I think he believes in what we're doing offensively. He feels like there's an opportunity for success, both for him individually and for us as a team. And he's totally bought into everything, and he's been outstanding. Ever since he came back to the start of training camp, he's been nothing but outstanding for our football team.
Coach, you had 180 yards rushing week one, 190 yards rushing on 39 carries in week two. And you mentioned in the Carolina postgame press conference that the stat of 2.9 yards before contact, and that was Carolina. I was just curious, if I missed it earlier today, I apologize, but what was it with San Francisco?
Well, in this game against Dallas,
I'm sorry, San Francisco. Good God!
Yeah,
come on, Coach. You don't have
what
that
the number was. I know last week against Carolina, we led the league in yards before contact. I think this week we were second in the league in yards before contact. So, you know, our offensive line, for you know, as much question marks as there were about them coming into the season, I think to this point, you know, again, it's 2 weeks into the season, but I think to this point, you know, they've answered a lot of questions, and, you know, we certainly want to continue to grow and continue to get better, but I've been pleased with what I've seen us do up front.
Now, you know, Coach Allen, I don't think you probably want to give this secret up, but, you know, you practice and, you know, you run in the defense and all your staff and all that, trying to stop the offense. And, you know, some fans might say, and I try to tell them, like, we don't game plan in preseason. What are you going to see in the regular season? How are you trying to attack an opponent? But this would make you burn the midnight oil. I think when I look at the Saints, you scored touchdowns on your first six possessions and average an astounding 10 yards per play those first three quarters. this is like a video game. I mean, no, the Eagles are worried about Atlanta tonight on Monday night. But that, if you were a coordinator going against the Saints defense, you have to be concerned how explosive we've been.
Yeah, there's no question. I mean, look, we talk about our ability to run the football, but we're throwing the ball exceptionally well. I mean, when you throw for, what was it, 250 yards basically on 16 attempts, that's being explosive in the passing game. And so, you know, that I think that creates a lot of challenges for the defense. And then when you look at the execution that we've been able to play at, that level of execution with shifts and motions and things like that, the pre-snap eye candy that messes with the defense, and yet we still have to be able to identify how the defense is adjusting to those things. So it can sometimes be a double-edged sword, but when you're able to do that and still execute it at a high level, I think that gives you a huge advantage.
Need to take a break. We'll come back and talk more with Saints head coach Dennis Allen along with Bobby Hebert. This is Mike Hoss. You are listening to the Saints Coaches Show on the New Orleans Saints Radio Network. Welcome back. Mike Hoss, Bobby Hebert along with Saints head coach Dennis Allen. A weird little scheduling quirk. You have your next two opponents that play on Monday Night Football, and next Sunday on Sunday Night Football, you'll have your next two opponents again because Atlanta will play Kansas City. First things first, tonight, Atlanta in Philadelphia. You know, because it is your next two opponents, you watch a little more closely, I would imagine, tonight, correct?
Yeah, look, I mean, we'll be kind of having one eye on the TV, and we'll have one eye on, you know, our computer monitors as we're looking at all the stuff from Philadelphia, you know, whether it be, you know, what Vic Fangio's done on defense and how we think he's going to deploy his defense against us, you know, what they've done offensively, Philly, against us in the past, as well as Kellen Moore and what he's done against us in the past. And so there's a ton of information that we got to gather, and so we'll be doing that with one eye, and the other eye will be looking up at the screen to see how that game's going.
Now, you know, Coach Allen, this is old school. It doesn't change. Can you run the football? Can you stop the run? I thought that was one area, and I said this. We needed to flip the script. You know, we were getting 3.5 yards a run. We're giving up 4.5. Well, we've definitely flipped that at the beginning of the season, like even more. We averaged right at 5 yards a carry, only gave up 3.2. A lot of the same players, I mean, very familiar players that the Saints fans are familiar with. Is it more about the scheme, or we just getting it done more as an individual group? Or, because that's definitely flipped the script, that we are stopping the run and we're able to run the football at a high level.
Yeah, look, I think there's a multitude of factors that go into that. You know, speaking defensively, first of all, it's, I just think we've you know, kind of reaffirmed our beliefs and how we have to play defense, and not really about what the calls are, just more about how we're going to play our culture of defense, and making sure that we have total buy-in on everything there. I think that's been much improved. Offensively, I think, you know, we're doing a better job of, you know, getting the looks that we're looking for, the angles that we're looking for. We're getting on the right people. We're doing a really good job of blocking on the perimeter. I mean, I think our receivers are doing an excellent job of getting on the right guys and helping to create, you know, what might be a 3 or 4 yard run and turn that into a, you know, a double-digit run. So I think we're doing some good things there, and I think our guys believe in what we're doing. And when you have that belief, usually the execution's a lot better.
You know, Coach, Taysom Hill, obviously the fans are always concerned with him. You think he'll be ready to roll come Sunday?
Well, look, I'd say, Bobby, right now I'd say it's way too early to tell. I think we escaped any sort of serious injury with Taysom, and we're gonna evaluate him throughout the course of the week, see what he can do as the week goes on, and if he's healthy enough to play, then he'll be out there and playing. And so We still got a ways to go before we can figure that out.
What about Kool-Aid McKinstry, Coach? Because Marshawn Lattimore was out, so McKinstry played, I believe, like 61 snaps, had a few tackles, a pass defense. I mean, how did he grade out from your perspective?
Yeah, I thought overall he did well. You know, there's certainly a few things that we need to clean up, but I thought, you know, he graded out pretty well. I thought he was pretty clean in terms of his technique and his fundamentals. I thought his effort was solid. You know, I think certainly with him missing all of the spring and even missing some time in training camp with a knee injury, I think we're still working on getting him back into, you know, really, really top football shape. He's been working extremely hard at doing that. This kid's going to be a good player for us, and he's gonna need to step up and play for us at times this year. And I thought he did that in this game. And for his first time out, you know, against a highly explosive offense, I thought he did really well.
You know, Coach Allen, I guess you would take this game in and game out that it seems like we've taken up a roster spot with the punter. We don't need a damn punter. You know, he's not utilized. I mean, I don't know if I've ever seen a game in two games the punter punted like three times. Hayball only one punt, but I thought he was outstanding. 49-yard punt, and it was inside the 20. I want to say it was like the 12 or 13-yard line, so that was awesome. So we try and nitpick and say, like, how do we miss an extra point? Because, you know, in a close game, that could come about. Because now, I mean, you see kickers across the league. Everybody's making 50-yarders. I mean, just elaborate on the special teams and just the kicking game. And I guess that's a good problem to have. I think I would take if we're not turning over the football against the Eagles, maybe we only punt one or two times.
Yeah, look, it didn't take long to get through the special teams film today. We had five kickoff coverages that we actually covered on. And I thought we executed that plan pretty well. The only one that wasn't as good was when we had to kick off from the 20 after a penalty, which we've got to maintain our poise in that situation. I thought the field goal protection, I think there's some things that we got to clean up inside and do a better job of our field goal protection inside. I think Blake Groupie's kicking the ball exceptionally well. That was one that, you know, they just got penetration inside you know, so that wasn't on the operation. That was more a product of the protection. So, and look, it was good to see Matt kind of bounce back. You know, he didn't punt the ball exceptionally well in his first outing, and we were hoping that would improve this week. And I, like you, Bobby, would like for him to, you know, keep a clean jersey on Sundays and kind of hang out on the sideline with me rather than having to be out on the field. And so hopefully we can keep that up. But when he's called upon to kick it, you know, hopefully he'll be able to do the same job like he did in this game and the one punt that he had.
Well, Coach, we appreciate your time. Great win yesterday in Dallas and cannot wait for Caesars Superdome on noon on Sunday. It'll be rocking. Again, appreciate it and have a great week.
Awesome, guys. Appreciate it.
All right, Coach.
Let's pause 10 seconds to let stations identify themselves here on the New Orleans Saints Radio Network. When we come back on the Saints Coaches Show, we will speak with linebackers coach Michael Hodges, the Texas native, and get his thoughts about the win yesterday and the linebacking core as well as we roll on here on the Saints Coaches Show on the New Orleans Saints Radio Network. Welcome back. Bobby Hebert of the Silver Slipper in Hancock County, Mississippi. Mike Costin studio, also joined by Saints linebackers coach Michael Hodges. Coach, how you doing tonight?
I'm good, guys. Thank you for having me.
Of course. Thank you. And so, born and raised in Helotes, Texas, and went to Texas A&M. Very few people out there who really appreciate what it is and what it means to go into Dallas and Arlington and beat the Cowboys like this team did yesterday. Did you have family or friends there from Texas yesterday?
No, I didn't actually have anybody that were guests of mine, but there was an influx of text messages from some Texas folks that felt that win a little bit differently.
Yeah, it was pretty sweet though, huh, for you.
No doubt.
Now, Coach Hodges, what can you tell the fans that they don't know, maybe in your experiences with Double D, DeMario Davis? You know, I played with the Dome Patrol, And I said, I don't know, the greatest linebacking core arguably in NFL history. And I say DeMario Davis definitely could be in that fraternity. So what can you tell the fans and all the players you've coached about the significance and the impact that DeMario Davis has on the defense?
Well, I think that probably the question I get asked mostly is it genuine? And unequivocally, I can say that it is. It is genuine. It's consistent. And, you know, there's a lot of different types of leaders, but the one thing that you have to have is consistency, and that's who he is. And he's heightened the room probably more each year. So he's grown in his own skin, if y'all can believe that, over the 7 years that we've been here together. And, you know, his openness with the young players and just the openness in general with the linebacker room and the defense, and his willingness to be vulnerable around those guys as far as putting himself out there. It's really been infectious for the defense and the whole team, to be candid. And so I think that is something that people see the podium, people see the Instagram or the Twitter, but this stuff is going on behind closed doors as well, and it's even more impactful there.
Now, Coach Hodges, when you look at the linebacking room, and I want you to elaborate on this. I know you got to be proud of how he handled this. That being Pete Werner, you know, it's always, what have you done for me lately? Every season's a new season. But Willie Gay Jr. comes on board from the Chiefs. Khalid Hudson comes over from Washington. But it seems like Pete Werner accepted that challenge. And you got to really like where our linebacking room is at right now.
I do. I think the personnel department did a good job of getting some guys in here to create some depth. Because I know, I was right there with him as far as concerned about the overall depth. But there's been guys that have developed that are younger players. And then we brought in some of the free agents that really enhanced the room. And so, you know, Khalid got picked up because of the stuff that he did in the preseason and stuff that he's done in his resume. Just like we lost Eric Wilson a few years ago. And so, I mean, these guys are going to go make their impact somewhere else. But I think Willie's made a big impact on our group, and I'm really excited about the guys that have been developing underneath, you know, DeMario and Pete over the last couple of years here that are making an impact now.
One of those guys being Anthony Orji. He's been a lot of special teams players. Made a lot of special teams plays, but would that be one of those young guys? And he was an undrafted free agent.
That's right. Yeah, I mean, he didn't get elevated one time last year, and there were opportunities to elevate him, and for reasons that we keep in house, we didn't. But he stuck with it, and week to week, there were meetings, there were extra work. There was a level of intention with that player's focus during the season, where a lot of guys can just slide into a rut of, okay, maybe next year. Well, no, he used it as an opportunity for growth, and you saw it show up in camp. And you know, he's a guy that we trust in a couple different positions right now, and you know, he's a really big asset for us considering we had some guys dinged up. But really proud of where he's going.
Now, Coach Hodges, obviously, you never know when you're going to get called up. I want you to comment on this individual, that being Isaiah Stallbird. He had a special teams tackle in this past game against Dallas, a rookie from South Dakota State. I want you to elaborate on that. And then also your interactions. What do you do now with like a DeMarco Jackson, who is like the guy who's been the quarterback of the defense behind DeMario Davis, considering, it could be out of sight, out of mind, dealing with an injury. But just elaborate on, before Stallbird and then DeMarco Jackson.
Yeah, I think Zay, you know, he has a unique trait, you know, his athleticism and the fact that he kind of came in from a hybrid position in college, and you know, there's some developmental pieces to his game that we're going to work on and be diligent about. But you know, I think that the opportunity was there, and he went out there and got a tackle. So look, he's an exciting young very humble player that knows that there's a lot of room for growth. And so we're going to continue to develop him and see how he grows and, you know, and how his role develops over the year, this year, both and next year. And then when you talk about D-Jack, I think when you look at the training camp, you know, before he got dinged up at the end, he was really doing a good job. Talk about another guy that's just developed over the last couple of years and really become a pro. I'm really proud of him. And out of sight, out of mind is not the case with him. He is very much inside and in mind. And he's been very much a part of our game plans, very much a part of our conversations in the linebacker room. Hell, I got a text message from him before any linebacker early in the week last week about the screen game by Dallas. And so that's just kind of the standard and the culture of the room. And he's one of those guys that is helping hold us to that standard.
And coach, when the offense puts 91 points on the board, it's understandable that you see a lot of focus being put on the offense. But this defense has forced 5 turnovers, and really beyond that, because I know Coach Allen values it greatly, and it gets even lost even further. And that's the turnover on downs, and get a couple of turnover on downs yesterday that can really, you know, change the momentum, and it just further deflates Dallas.
Yeah, I think, be it turnover and downs or getting the ball back, however we do it, each play our guys are trying to make an impact on the game, and that's what they did yesterday. They've trusted in the culture that DA is setting, that the culture that the captains are setting, and we're running with it. And you felt that. You felt that we were the more physical team yesterday, and you felt that guys are finishing the play the right way. You felt that guys are playing together in a way that allows them to play freely. And so all those things put together has allowed for some success. And it, to your point, it's easier when the offense is rolling like they are, you know, and so it allows us to play a little bit freer and go after these guys a little bit. And so it's been fun. It's been fun. Hopefully we can keep it rolling.
Now, Coach Hodges, what do you encourage, or how do you, a young player, you know, the rookie out of Texas, Jalen Ford, how do you encourage him? Now, he's been dealing with injuries, to stay tuned. And do you tell him to look at these older veteran players and watch what they do and try and imitate that? Or like, because all of a sudden you can be a stud in college, but so what? You're in the NFL now. And no matter, you know, if you're a free agent or where you were drafted, here's a fifth-round draft pick.
Welcome back. Bobby Hebert of the Silver Slipper in Hancock County, Mississippi. Mike Austin studio. Also joined by Saints linebackers coach Michael Hodges. Coach, how you doing tonight?
I'm good, guys. Thank you for having me.
Of course. Thank you. And so born and raised in Helotes, Texas, and went to Texas A&M. Very few people out there who really appreciate what it is and what it means to go into Dallas and Arlington and beat the Cowboys like this team did yesterday. Did you have family or friends there from Texas yesterday?
No, I didn't actually have anybody that were guests of mine, but there was an influx of text messages from some Texas folks that that felt that win a little bit differently.
Yeah, it was pretty sweet though, huh, for you.
No doubt.
Now, Coach Hodges, what can you tell the fans that they don't know? Maybe in your experiences with Double D, DeMario Davis. You know, I played with the Dome Patrol, and I said, the greatest linebacking core arguably in NFL history. And I say DeMario Davis definitely could be in that fraternity. So what can you tell the fans and all the players you've coached about the significance and the impact that DeMario Davis has on the defense?
Well, I think that probably the question I get asked mostly is it genuine? And unequivocally, I can say that it is. It is genuine. It's consistent. And, you know, there's a lot of different types of leaders, but the one thing that you have to have is consistency, and that's who he is. And he's heightened the room probably more each year. So he's grown in his own skin, if y'all can believe that, over the 7 years that we've been here together. And, you know, his openness with the young players and just the openness in general with the linebacker room and the defense, and his willingness to be vulnerable around those guys as far as putting himself out there, it's really
been infectious for the defense and the whole team, to be candid. And so I think that that is something that people see the podium, people see the Instagram or the Twitter, but this stuff is going on behind closed doors as well, and it's even more impactful there.
Now, Coach Hodges, when you look at the linebacking room, and I want you to elaborate on this. I know you got to be proud of how he handled this, that being Pete Werner. You know, it's always, what have you done for me lately? Every season's a new season. But Willie Gay Jr. comes on board from the Chiefs. Khalik Hudson comes over from Washington. But it seems like Pete Werner accepted that challenge. And you got to really like where our linebacking room is at right now.
I do. I think the personnel department did a good job of getting some guys in here to create some depth. Because I know, I was right there with him as far as concerned about the overall depth. But there's been guys that have developed that are younger players. And then we brought in some of the free agents that really enhanced the room. And so, you know, Khalik got picked up because of the stuff that he did in the preseason and stuff that he's done in his resume. Just like we lost Eric Wilson a few years ago. And so, I mean, these guys are going to go make their impact somewhere else. But I think Willie's made a big impact on our group, and I'm really excited about the guys that have been developing underneath, you know, DeMario and Pete over the last couple of years here that are making an impact now.
One of those guys being Anfernee Orji. He's been a lot of special teams players. Made a lot of special teams plays, but would that be one of those young guys? And he was an undrafted free agent.
That's right. I mean, he didn't get elevated one time last year, and there were opportunities to elevate him, and for reasons that we keep in house, we didn't. But he stuck with it, and week to week, there were meetings, there were extra work. There was a level of intention with that player's focus during the season, where a lot of guys can just slide into a rut of, okay, maybe next year. Well, no, he used it as an opportunity for growth, and you saw it show up in camp. And you know, he's a guy that we trust in a couple different positions right now, and you know, he's a really big asset for us, considering we had some guys dinged up. But really proud of where he's going.
Now, Coach Hodges, obviously, you never know when you're going to get called up. I want you to comment on this individual, that being Isaiah Stallburg. He had a special teams tackle in this past game against Dallas, a rookie from South Dakota State. I want you to elaborate on that. And then also your interactions. What do you do now with like a DeMarco Jackson, who is like the guy who's been the quarterback of the defense behind DeMario Davis, considering, it could be out of sight, out of mind, dealing with an injury. But just elaborate on, before Stallburg and then DeMarco Jackson.
Yeah, I think Zay, you know, he has a unique trait, you know, his athleticism and the fact that he kind of came in from a hybrid position in college, and you know, there's some developmental pieces to his game that we're going to work on and be diligent about. But you know, I think that the opportunity was there, and he went out there and got a tackle. So look, he's an exciting young, very humble player that knows that there's a lot of room for growth, and so we're gonna continue to develop him and see how he grows, and you know, and how his role develops over the year. This year, both and next year, and then when you talk about DJAC, I think when you look at the training camp, you know, before he got dinged up at the end, he was really doing a good job. Talk about another guy that's just developed over the last couple of years and really become a pro. I'm really proud of him. And out of sight, out of mind is not the case with him. He is very much inside and in mind, and he's been very much a part of our game plans, very much a part of our conversations in the linebacker room. Hell, I got a text message from him before any linebacker early in the week last week about the screen game by Dallas. And so that's just kind of the standard and the culture of the room, and he's one of those guys that is helping hold us to that standard.
And coach, when the offense puts 91 points on the board, it's understandable that you see a lot of focus being put on the offense. But this defense has forced 5 turnovers, and really beyond that, because I know Coach Allen values it greatly, and it gets even lost even further. And that's the turnover on downs, and get a couple of turnover on downs yesterday that can really, change the momentum, and it just further deflates Dallas.
Yeah, I think, be it turnover and downs or getting the ball back, however we do it, each play our guys are trying to make an impact on the game, and that's what they did yesterday. They've trusted in the culture that DA is setting, that the culture that the captains are setting, and we're running with it. And you felt that. You felt that we were the more physical team yesterday, and you felt the guys are finishing the play the right way. You felt the guys are playing together in a way that allows them to play freely. And so all those things put together has allowed for some success. And it, to your point, it's easier when the offense is rolling like they are, and so it allows us to play a little bit freer and go after these guys a little bit. And so it's been fun. It's been fun. Hopefully we can keep it rolling.
Now, Coach Hodges, what do you encourage, or how do you, a young player, the rookie out of Texas, Jalen Ford, how do you encourage him? Now, he's been dealing with injuries, to stay tuned. And do you tell him to look at these older veteran players and watch what they do and try and imitate that? Or like, because all of a sudden you can be a stud in college, but so what? You're in the NFL now. And no matter, if you're a free agent or where you were drafted, here's a fifth-round draft pick. But that's over what we did in college. You got to do it now. So how do you encourage Jalen Ford going forward, considering what he's been dealing with? And the Saints wouldn't have drafted him, and I know you probably were part of that, unless you could see maybe encouraging signs going forward. A nice size, that was 6'2", 240. So what can you tell the fans also about Jalen Ford and maybe his future development?
Yeah, look, Jalen's done a good job, and he was really coming on in camp when he was healthy. I was really excited about the trajectory of his play. But you nailed it. I mean, there's no better example than the guys in the room that have a process. DeMario Davis has a process. Pete Warner has a process. Nephi Sewell has an excellent process to, a weekly opponent. And those are the best teachers, right? Because you can learn from examples that are being set right in front of you. And he literally sits next to DeMario. So I told him yesterday at the game, we were talking about his preparation. And I said, you literally chose the best seat in the room. And so, from my perspective, I got to help these guys along because they don't necessarily know how to watch tape at this level that these guys are doing it. And they don't know how to necessarily take care of their bodies or prepare for a practice or a game. So that's where my role comes in and trying to help those guys nudge them along. And it's different. DeMario's process is different than Pete's. And so I got to figure out what best process is for Jalen and help him along with that. And so Jalen's been working hard. He's got to get healthy and get out there on the field because that's going to be his biggest room for improvement. And then we can get the other stuff taken care of.
Saints linebackers coach Michael Hodges. Coach, appreciate the time. I mean, I know you guys got a lot going on, certainly Atlanta and Philadelphia tonight. But hey, it's pretty simple. Continued success. Continued success.
That's right. Thank you, guys. I appreciate y'all.
All right. Thanks, coach.
Saints linebackers coach Michael Hodges. Bobby, we will say goodnight. As always, you were awesome, my friend.
All right, Hoss. Yeah, just three in a row.
Three in a row.
You know what? We're not going to sugarcoat it. We got to go 3-0. The Saints haven't started a season 3-0 since 2013 season, so I think we do. So that's basically a decade, so we do to start out 3-0.
We are due. You are right. Thank you, Bobby. Take a break. Come back. We'll talk to the man sitting next to Bobby, Michael Dettillier, as we'll talk about the NFC South, tonight's Monday night game, and the rest of the NFL, some 2-0s and some 0-2s. Back after this on the New Orleans Saints Radio Network. Welcome back to the Saints Coaches Show. Mike Hoss now joined by NFL analyst, college analyst, you name it. Mike Dettillier is the analyst du jour, and we appreciate his time at the Silver Slipper Casino in Hancock County, Mississippi. And Mike, wow, it's a great time to be a football fan because the Saints are 2-0. You got the Falcons in Philadelphia tonight. That's the Saints' next two opponents. next Sunday night, as I talked to Coach Allen, you have also the Saints' next two opponents because Atlanta will play Kansas City. So a lot going on here tonight. Philadelphia, I don't know, the NFL didn't do them a whole lot of favors schedule-wise. They got to play in Brazil, come back on a Monday night at home, then a short week in New Orleans, and that's all I feel sorry for them. But what do you think about tonight's game, Philadelphia and Atlanta?
Man, I don't feel sorry for them.
Me either. I know.
I'll be honest with you. Hey, listen, it is what it is. But, you know, with the Eagles, they look to be a different offensive team when I watched them that Friday night game against the Packers. And the Packers' defense is pretty doggone good. They moved that football up and down the field. Now, the Packers did too. I do give them credit. The Packers moved the football too. But, man, the Eagles, they look like they had it clicking and look like the team we saw a little bit earlier last year before. Man, look as though they were like a cheap suit. I mean, they all came apart. But I think the addition of Saquon Barkley is a nice spot for him because if he's healthy, he is a really good football player as a runner and a receiver. I know A.J. Brown has got the injury, so we'll see them kind of pump the football more to a guy I saw back in high school, Devontae Smith from a meet who went to Alabama. All he did there was win the Heisman Trophy. And Jahan Dotson, who they picked up from the Commanders, Dallas Goedert, offensive line, got a new center. You know, Kelsey's not there anymore, but they are an explosive offensive team. And I was telling this to Bob, the last two times Jalen Hurts has played the Saints, he's rushed for 175 yards in those two games. 69 yards one time, 106 the next. But, Mike, here's the crazy part. He only completed 56% of his passes in those two games. My thing is, the most he threw for was 167. Okay, he ain't beating you throwing the ball. He's beating you running it. And as Bob said, you know, if you've got confidence and you've played well against another team, that carries over for the next time you play a man. I know I can beat that team a certain way. It'll be interesting to match up here because when you play Jalen, you better stay in your gaps because he's got a way of eluding you if you kind of get out of there and getting up the field. But now he's got if he's healthy, Saquon Barkley is a big time back. They got a lot of changes, though, on the defensive side of the football. A lot of new faces, including a guy we saw for a few years, Zach Bowen. And, boy, did he have a great opening game against the Packers.
What about the other side of the football? So the Falcons beaten by six field goals at home against Pittsburgh. Kirk Cousins, you know, not exactly what you call a Monday night star, had the big game with San Francisco. But, man, I'm curious as to what we see out of the Falcons tonight.
He looked like an old Pops last week. I mean, he really looked stiff. And I know a lot of that, he's still coming off the after effects of the Achilles injury. But he looked slow, Mike. He really did. I'm anxious to see if, you know, if that improves with him. He's always been a very accurate passer. He has not played his best when the lights are shown on him on a Monday night game. That hasn't been his best efforts. But he's got some weapons, big time, with the Falcons. They got to be able to get Bijan Robinson the football. To me, he becomes the straw that turns the drink for them. As a runner and a receiver, they've got to be able to find a way to have him touch the football 22 to 24 times as a runner and receiver. Their offensive line's too good for them not to be able to draw up any more points than what they did in week one. But Kirk looked, man, he just looked like he was running in cement in those games. He really, really did. And their defense, I got to give it to them, they held up pretty well for not putting up a lot of points on the offensive side of the football.
Let's look at around the NFL. And we took, you know, it's a small sample size. I get it. It's 2 weeks. It is what it is. But so, really, the 0-2 teams, if you look at who are the surprises, you can say a lot of 2-0 teams, but the 0-2 teams, Baltimore, Cincinnati, the Rams, Jacksonville, and there's some questions in some other markets tonight.
Yeah, I know they ain't too happy in Baltimore. Okay, because you let one slip away in the opener. You had it. in a chance to win it, let it slip away. And yesterday was even worse because of who you played.
Raiders.
Yeah, you had an opportunity, and you couldn't seal it up there. That's surprising, the 0-2 start, based off of, you know, I don't think the Raiders are going to be any kind of contenders by any stretch, but, you know, hey, they made plays when they needed to. Mike, I'll be honest with you, what impressed me yesterday, I mean, the Saints game, top of the line, but what really impressed me, Tampa, they go to Detroit. Now, they a beat-up football team with an injury list about as long as my arm, and they beat Detroit in their own backyard. That was really impressive. Now, they're still trying to block Hutchinson. I mean, he was in the backfield as much as Baker Mayfield. With 5 sacks in the game, he was unreal based off of who he was going up against. That had something to do with it, too, because he was a backup. But to go to Detroit and win the way the Lions have played, that caught my eye. That I thought early on the schedule for them was favorable. I thought the toughest game was Detroit, and they come out of there with a W. But I agree with you. The Baltimore, 0-2, Cincinnati. And, again, you think you got the Chiefs. And that was definitely an interference call at the end. He tried to run through the guy. Had he cut in front of him, he could have maybe knocked the ball away. But he tried to run through the receiver. And, you're going to get that. Mahomes is going to get that call. It doesn't matter. He's going to get that call. But it was obvious that that was an interference. And they seemed to unravel at the end, the Bengals. Really did, because I thought they played one whale of a football game. And now the Chiefs losing Isaiah Pacheco for the next 6 to 8 weeks. So that means he won't play against the Saints. He's a big part of their attack as a runner and also as a receiver coming out of the backfield.
No, it's huge. And so, you know, you watch injuries around the NFL, and fortunately you hope that they just, you know, we don't have to talk about that blue tent going up. Michael, as always, appreciate your time, appreciate your insight, and see what happens tonight with Philadelphia and Atlanta.
Go Eagles!
All right. You are not alone, my friend. I want to thank everybody for listening tonight. This has been the Saints Coaches Show. My thanks to Saints head coach Dennis Allen, linebackers coach Michael Hodges, Charlie Long in the booth, Mike Dettillier, and Bobby Hebert, the Cajun Cannon from the Silver Slipper in Hancock County, Mississippi. We will talk to you next week after the Saints in Philadelphia from a rockin' Caesars Superdome. Have a good night, everyone, on the New Orleans Saints Radio Network. Welcome back to the Saints Coaches Show. Mike Haas now joined by NFL analyst, college analyst, you name it. Mike Dettillier is the analyst du jour, and we appreciate his time at the Silver Slipper Casino in Hancock County, Mississippi. And Mike, wow, it's a great time to be a football fan because the Saints are 2-0. You got the Falcons at Philadelphia tonight. That's the Saints' next two opponents. Next Sunday night, as I talked to Coach Allen, you have also the Saints' next two opponents because Atlanta will play Kansas City. So, a lot going on here tonight. Philadelphia, I don't know, the NFL didn't do them a whole lot of favors schedule-wise. They got to play in Brazil, come back on a Monday night at home, then a short week in New Orleans, and that's all I feel sorry for them. But what do you think about tonight's game, Philadelphia and Atlanta?
Man, I don't feel sorry for them.
Me either. I know.
I'll be honest with you. Hey, listen, it is what it is. But, you know, with the Eagles, they look to be a different offensive team when I watched them that Friday night game against the Packers. The Packers' defense is pretty doggone good. They moved that football up and down the field. Now, the Packers did too. I do give them credit. The Packers moved the football too. But, man, the Eagles, they look like they had it clicking and look like the team we saw a little bit earlier last year before. Man, look as though they were like a cheap suit. I mean, they all came apart. But I think the addition of Saquon Barkley is a nice spot for him because – if he's healthy, he is a really good football player as a runner and a receiver. I know A.J. Brown has got the injury, so we'll see them kind of pump the football more to a guy. I saw back in high school Devontae Smith from a meet who went to Alabama. All he did there was win the Heisman Trophy. And Jahan Dotson, who they picked up from the Commanders, Dallas Goedert, offensive line, got a new center. You know, Kelsey's not there anymore, but they are an explosive offensive team. And I was telling this to Bob, The last two times Jalen Hurts has played the Saints, he's rushed for 175 yards in those two games. 69 yards one time, 106 the next. But, Mike, here's the crazy part. He only completed 56% of his passes in those two games. My thing is, the most he threw for was 167. Okay, he ain't beating you throwing the ball. He's beating you running it. And as Bob said, you know, if you've got confidence and you've played well against another team, that carries over for the next time you play a man. I know I can beat that team a certain way. It'll be interesting to match up here, because when you play Jalen, you better stay in your gaps, because he's got a way of eluding you if you kind of get out of there and getting up the field. But now he's got a – if he's healthy, Saquon Barkley is a big-time back. They've got a lot of changes, though, on the defensive side of football, a lot of new faces, including a guy we saw for a few years, Zach Bowen. And, boy, did he have a great opening game against the Packers.
What about the other side of the football? So the Falcons beaten by 6 field goals at home against Pittsburgh. Kirk Cousins, you know, not exactly what you call a Monday night star, had the big game with San Francisco. But man, I'm curious as to what we see out of the Falcons tonight.
He looked like an old Pops last week. I mean, he really looked stiff. And I know a lot of that, he's still coming off the after effects of the Achilles injury. But he looked slow, Mike. He really did. I'm anxious to see if, you know, that improves with him. He's always been a very accurate passer. He has not played his best when the lights are shown on him on a Monday night game. That hasn't been his best efforts. But he's got some weapons, big time, with the Falcons. They got to be able to get Bijan Robinson the football. To me, he becomes the straw that turns the drink for them. As a runner and a receiver, they've got to be able to find a way to have him touch the football 22 to 24 times as a runner and receiver. Their offensive line's too good for them not to be able to draw up any more points than what they did in week one. But Kirk looked, man, he just looked like he was running in cement in those games. He really, really did. And their defense, I got to give it to them, they held up pretty well for not putting up a lot of points on the offensive side of football.
Let's look around the NFL, and we took, you know, it's a small sample size. I get it. It's 2 weeks. It is what it is. But so, really, the 0-2 teams, if you look at who are the surprises, you can say a lot of 2-0 teams, but the 0-2 teams, Baltimore, Cincinnati, the Rams, Jacksonville, and there's some questions in some other markets tonight.
Yeah, I know they ain't too happy in Baltimore. Okay, because you let one slip away in the opener. You had it in a chance to win it, let it slip away. And yesterday was even worse because of who you played.
Raiders.
Yeah, you had an opportunity, and you couldn't seal it up there. That's surprising, the 0-2 start, based off of, you know, I don't think the Raiders are going to be any kind of contenders by any stretch, but, you know, hey, they made plays when they needed to. Mike, I'll be honest with you, what impressed me yesterday, I mean, the Saints game, top of the line, but what really impressed me, Tampa, they go to Detroit. Now, they a beat-up football team with an injury list about as long as my arm, and they beat Detroit in their own backyard. That was really impressive. Now, they're still trying to block Hutchinson. I mean, he was in the backfield as much as Baker Mayfield. With 5 sacks in the game, he was unreal. Based off of who he was going up against, that had something to do with it, too, because he was a backup. But to go to Detroit and win the way the Lions have played, that caught my eye. That I thought early on the schedule for them was favorable. I thought the toughest game was Detroit, and they come out of there with a W. But I agree with you. The Baltimore, 0-2, Cincinnati. And, again, you think you got – the Chiefs, and that was definitely an interference call at the end. He tried to run through the guy. Had he cut in front of him, he could have maybe knocked the ball away, but he tried to run through the receiver, and you're going to get that. Mahomes is going to get that call. It doesn't matter. He's going to get that call, but it was obvious that was an interference, and they seemed to unravel at the end. the Bengals. Really did, because I thought they played one whale of a football game. And now the Chiefs losing Isaiah Pacheco for the next 6 to 8 weeks. So that means he won't play against the Saints. He's a big part of their attack as a runner and also as a receiver coming out of the backfield.
No, it's huge. And so, you know, you watch injuries around the NFL, and fortunately you hope that they just, you know, we don't have to talk about that blue tent going up. Michael, as always, appreciate your time, appreciate your insight, and see what happens tonight with Philadelphia and Atlanta.
Go Eagles!
You are not alone, my friend. I want to thank everybody for listening tonight. This has been the Saints Coaches Show. My thanks to Saints head coach Dennis Allen, linebackers coach Michael Hodges, Charlie Long in the booth, Mike Dettillier, and Bobby Hebert, the Cajun Cannon from the Silver Slipper in Hancock County, Mississippi. We will talk to you next week after the Saints in Philadelphia from a rockin' Caesars Superdome. Have a good night, everyone, on the New Orleans Saints Radio Network.